Hey there, welcome to Product Marketing Maestros, Tales from the Frontlines. I'm your host, Nitin Karthik. As the author of the Amazon bestseller, Product Marketing Wisdom, I've always found that real-world case studies are the true litmus test for the effectiveness of any product marketing strategy. And that is why in this show, we dive into the minds of industry titans, as well as rising stars, unpacking their expertise in action-packed episodes that showcase the power of product marketing through real-world case studies. And today, my friends, we are joined by product marketing maestro, Yasin Keradman. Yasin is a data-driven growth leader with over 4 years of experience accelerating revenue for tech scale-ups across Europe. He currently serves as head of growth at Skatemate in London, where he helps scale an EGR award-winning sportsbook product. Previously, he led growth initiatives at Move78 and Hustle, supporting product-led brands in B2B SaaS, streaming, health tech, and Web3 commerce. Yasin also advises startups on customer acquisition and product growth, and has also been a guest lecturer. And has also guest lectured on data-based business decision-making at Birkbeck University of London. He holds an MSc in business analytics. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Yasin Keradman. Yasin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the intro. It's great to be here. I'm a big fan of the show. I've been listening for a while to everyone, kind of how they're approaching product marketing on a day-to-day basis. I think especially now with the rise of AI, it's an important space to pay attention to and kind of listen to what other people are doing. And I think some of the stuff we're doing might be interesting to some other product marketers.
Absolutely. I'm 100% sure of that. And today I'm really excited, Yasin. We're going to be giving the audience a situation from your experience. And we will use the ABC framework. So we'll talk about the antecedents, the prior challenges. We'll talk about the behaviors, the actions that you took. And we'll talk about the conclusion, how things played out. So with that, Yasin, pick a situation from your experience and tell us, what were the antecedents? What were the prior challenges?
Yeah, that's a great framework. I want to talk about kind of like how we approached product marketing in a challenger brand, essentially, with limited resources in a space that you have some really big companies in, which have a lot more resources than we do as kind of like a startup scale up. And specifically how we used AI to solve those problems. I think most listeners on this show will probably be aware that marketers in general face key challenges in any type of organization, and usually this is around resources. Marketing departments have limited budgets, you know, they have limited access to technical expertise and almost unlimited demand. And in a way, management, it's often said, is the art of allocating limited resources to unlimited requirements. But what if those resources didn't have to be limited, right? So that's what I think, that's what AI kind of unlocks for us, is almost unlimited resources. But when you're in a startup or scale up, obviously that kind of resource limitation challenge is much bigger. And when you're taking on those established brands in a crowded space like us at Stakemate, this is an even a bigger challenge, because you need to kind of build credibility, build visibility, and signal that you're a valuable business in this space because you're dealing with consumers, and you need to build that trust. The good news is that AI is here, and using AI, you can be increasingly independent. I'm going to say that again. The good news is that AI is here, and AI can make marketers very independent of tech and other parts of the business. It also gives us a lot more resources to work with. So for example, in the past, you had to invest a lot of money into creative production, or you had to work with tech teams to build the analytics suites that you needed. But now a lot of that stuff marketers can do on their own. So specifically, the challenges that we faced was, as a small challenger brand in a consumer space, we needed to produce content, we needed to produce images, we needed to produce videos that would show us as this valuable, trustworthy brand and an established brand. And we needed to do this in a scalable and compliant way, because we're in a regulated industry. Other challenges, kind of tangential to that, where how do we scale the tone of voice and the personality across the organization? So teams like customer service are being consistent with the way that we want to communicate with our customers. And also, how do we build the analytics tools that we need on a day-to-day or weekly basis to keep track of what we're doing and make sure that we're kind of being data-led in our decision-making on a day-to-day basis?
Beautiful. I love that, Yasin. In fact, I'm sure there must be so many people in the audience who may be struggling with the same situations, right? How AI can help and so on. So lovely. So thank you for telling us about the antecedents. Now, Yasin, let's talk about the behaviors, right? So given these challenges, how did that guide the actions, the behaviors that you and your team took?
I think the challenge with AI is that almost like the things that you can do is almost limitless. So you almost need to control yourself in the way that you decide what to apply it to and how to use AI specifically. We're very much of the mindset that you kind of need to start from first principles. So we challenged the whole premise of content marketing in our space. You know, the ads felt boring. They felt like they were made in 2001, not 2025. Competitors weren't really paying attention to customers. They were just like, they were these dinosaurs that kept doing the same thing that they had been doing for a very long time. And it worked, to be fair, but I think that their laxness was in a way an opportunity for us to compete. And we also realized that, you know, if we're able to leverage AI in the right way, we could actually position ourselves as this like trustworthy, incredible brand and use the concept of costly signaling, which means that you show customers that you're trustworthy because you have a lot of money essentially to spend, even though you don't. So we basically set about building our own custom AI content production tools. So these are essentially models that were able to create images for us for different use cases. I'm going to say that again. We're able to build models that create images for us for different use cases. And most importantly, we can keep the branding consistent, and we can also create this kind of like lifestyle imagery, this real life imagery, which is compliant because we're able to keep the models, the people that appear in these images consistent. So essentially we have AI actors. Because we're a regulated industry, the compliance perspective is very important. And I'm sure people working in fintech and on those kinds of businesses will relate to this. In our case, we need to make sure that the people appearing in the images looked over 25. And so we were able to, after a lot of kind of fine tuning, we were able to get these AI models to consistently create the same actors for us who looked over 25, and our compliance department were very happy. So that's the first way that we approached this, and we're like, okay, let's take AI, let's apply it in this very specific way. Let's not get lost trying to use ChatGPT because that's not scalable. That's not consistent across different teams. The second way we looked at it was the tone of voice problem. This seems to be another scenario where AI can be very useful if you can build the correct tool, which the customer service team can use, the product marketing team can use, and other teams can use to make sure that whatever they want to say is always on brand and consistent. And so here we basically double used AI, which means the product marketing team, myself and my team, we sat down, we used vibe coding tools like Lovable to actually build from the ground up, build a tone of voice tool where you can put the customer input, you can put what you want to respond to the customer, and you can pick the tone that you want to use. And this was trained basically on our brand safe data to then give you exactly what you should say to them, which would be always true to the brand and true to the tone of voice and also consistent, but also honest and truthful. So we also built FAQs into it. We built a massive library of existing communications, which would make sure that whatever it churned out would always be reliable. Of course, there's still a human in the loop. It's not an AI bot talking to customers. It's just there to help people. And I think that's where the power of AI lies in terms of becoming an additional kind of co-pilot to whether it's the customer service team or us in the marketing team. And while we're on the subject of co-pilots, this is where I think you know, it's a complete revolution for people working in marketing, because in the past, Let's say you wanted to build an analytics platform to give you attribution data from different channels and then analyze it for you automatically and show you the dashboard. You would have to, in the past, you would either have to manually fetch the data from all the different ad networks that you use and bring the numbers into a spreadsheet and then visualize it for yourself. Or you would have to get your dev team to go through this long process of integrating the APIs, and every time you wanted to make a change, it would take forever. And you basically, you weren't free to do what you wanted to do, and kind of like you weren't very creative in that way. But thanks to, again, vibe coding tools, we have been building our own analytics tools, integrating it directly with the ads platforms, with the analytics tools such as AppsFlyer, the MMPs, and also directly to our event flows, our CDPs, to bring it all into kind of one dashboard, one tool that we use for the marketing team to decide where to put our budget. You know, if there's affiliate channels that we want to cut, if there's channels we want to increase the budget on. And this also gives us a consistent view on what's performing and what isn't. And I think going into 2026, we're going to keep leveraging these AI coding tools to build more tools for ourselves, internal apps essentially that we can use, which in the past you would have to pay, you know, a B2B SaaS provider to build for you.
Wow, look at that, man. So many actions that you took. I love it. A wealth of knowledge in there. Now, Yasin, bring it home, right? So tell us about the conclusion. So given all these actions, how did things play out for you and your team?
We're a small team, right? So we don't have a lot of resources, but obviously as we've scaled the organization and we've started bringing revenue in and we've hit profitability as a business, that has enabled us to actually increase headcount. But then we're very thoughtful about, do we actually need to hire for this role, or can we get more done as a team? Or if we do need a headcount, where can it best be leveraged? You know, we've been able to, as a direct result of tapping into AI in those three specific ways, there's other ways as well, which I'm not mentioning, but we've essentially been able to do a lot less with more. Sorry, I have to say that again. As a result of tapping into AI and using all of those tools, those three ways that I mentioned, we've been able to do a lot more with less. So a smaller team is doing essentially, I think, comparing to other similar businesses, maybe we've got, we're doing three or four times more. So we're doing what a team of like 20 people would be able to do with just six or seven people. Our scalable brand means we've been able to iterate and test faster and with a smaller team and kind of consistently push stuff out. And our use of AI analytics tools and also AI semi-AI-led decision-making allows us to completely take a fresh look at the way that we do everything and kind of challenge industry norms. And as a result of this, we've been able to hyperscale the app to, as I said, millions of in revenue, and we've rocketed up to the top of the UK App Store in the sports category. We're consistently in the top five. We have been top. We do take top spot on some weekends. And so our team has just become much more effective. And I think we're going to keep going down this path of AI-led marketing in the next year and beyond.
Wow. Absolutely brilliant. I love that. So thank you, Yasin. Excellent case study. I think our audience can take so much from that. So now, Yasin, if people wanted to learn more about you and what's next for you, where can they do that?
Yeah, I mean, I have a website, kerad.me, that's kerad.me. I write some stuff on there sometimes. You can check it out. Also, I do link media appearances in there, or just connect with me on LinkedIn if you're into reading funny comments, almost making fun of people's cringe posts. And if you want to get updates on how things are going at Stakemate on a daily basis, and always feel free to reach out if you'd like some advice on something.
Absolutely wonderful. So thank you, Yasin. Folks, there you have it. Please reach out to Yasin for more insights. And for even more insights, check out my Amazon bestseller book, Product Marketing Wisdom, at productmarketingwisdom.com. And see you next time on Product Marketing Maestros.